All right, we'd like to welcome everyone tonight. I believe this is July the 19th. It's Wednesday night service.
Yeah.
Looking forward to this service. Be a lot of doctrine brought out tonight in this service. But before we get into all of that, we're going to get Sister Brenda up here to sing for us. And we're trying to get her ready over. I think I've got her ready. We're all struggling with all the technology. We've got all new live stream equipment. And I'll just tell you right now, it ain't all, we're not familiar with it yet. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. We'll get through it, but right now we're struggling with it. You come on, Sister Brenda. Say number four.
Yes, sir. Yes, Pastor.
All right, number four.
Been a long time since that. I don't like that.
Yeah, the microphone is going to sing.
Power on, just push play on four.
I said, you need a microphone, you're just going to sing.
I'm just going to sing it.
All right. There you go.
That four.
We got you on number four.
Can you turn it up a little bit?
Yeah.
Once I went walking down a long, lonely road.
Yeah.
I thought I had no one who would share my heavy load.
Amen.
Then my mind went soaring back to a place I'd never been.
Hallelujah.
And I realized that I was standing at the foot of my King.
Bless you, Brenda.
There were trees, lonely crosses,
yes,
on a hillside that day. And as I looked at my Savior,
bless you, Lord,
I cried, Lord, take me away. There was blood flowing down,
yeah,
as the thorns pierced his head.
Yeah.
But he cried, Father, forgive them. And then my Savior, he was dead. Well, I stood there in silence, thinking, Lord, how could this be?
Life.
He's alive.
Yes, Lord.
Whoa. I'm glad he is alive because yes. He's alive. Praise God, I'm alive.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Amen. If it ain't happening, we're all going.
Yes.
Amen. I appreciate you singing that.
Lost it right there at the last. I swallowed.
Appreciate you singing that, Sister Brenda. I like to get off on a good note. Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, he said, we're yet in our sins, and let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But yeah. Jesus got up, showed himself alive. That's like what Brenda just sung about.
Yeah,
I mean, they went out. He's alive. He's alive. And amen, I'm telling you, glory to God. Thank God he got up. Now, the devil didn't know what was going on. He wouldn't have been part of it. But God even used the devil to deliver us in the salvation plan. He had to be betrayed. He chose one specifically for that betrayal. And his name was Judas. He said, have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil? And I'll tell you, that's why God creates good and evil. He had to be betrayed.
Yeah.
And his disciples wouldn't do it. So he chose the devil, got it done, got crucified. And when they'd done all they could do to him, he gave his life up. He didn't take it. He yielded it up. Hey. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He went to heaven. Well, first of all, he went to hell. According to Peter, he preached down there. And he preached the gospel to them, according to Peter.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, they understood, praise God, what it's all about then. They'd been hearing about a Messiah. And the Messiah showed up. And I tell you what, it didn't take too long for them to realize, like Brenda's son, he is alive. Amen. And then he led captivity to captive. Glory to God. Woo! Well, on that good note tonight, I know it's going to be a little bit of a negative message, but it still needs to be taught. But I want to get off on a good note. And I want to rehash what I just said just a minute ago. A young man named Jason Aldean's come out with a new song. And a new song is called Try That in a Small Town. How'd you find out about that, Brother Eddie? Because it is a country song. Well, I was watching the news, and it's rocking the boat. And they couldn't figure out what to do. Everybody's mad because this young man came up with this new song. So I thought I'd go see what all the story was about. And I actually watched the YouTube myself. It brought me to tears because the song puts the finger on the problem. And you know, Hollywood fought the release of that movie, The Sound of Freedom. And you know what? It put the finger on the problem about child pedophiles and about child abuse and child trafficking. And this song here put the finger on the problem about what's going on in our big cities. I mean, I'll just tell you what, the wrong people are in charge. We need to put somebody that's got some sense in there. But that boy done a good job bringing that to light in that song. And one more good news. What was it? Mel Gibson, the one that came out with the movie The Passion of the Christ, is coming out with a movie about the resurrection of Jesus. It's going to start next year, be released next year. But I got to see just a few little glimpses of it. Boy, there's a lot of good coming. Amen. I like good news.
Amen.
Proverbs 25:25 says, like cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Amen. But that song I talked about brought out, put the finger on the problem. In Psalms chapter, and it's not doing our lesson tonight, but in Psalms chapter number 12, verse number 8, it says, the vilest men walk on every side. Let me quote that, because I certainly want to quote it right. Psalms chapter 12, verse number 8, it says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. What that means is, they get a position that they shouldn't have been given, and it makes a difference. You'd find that mentioned a little more clear in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, it says, cause sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. The heart of the son of man is fully set in him to do evil. And Proverbs 14:34 says, righteous exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. All of that has to do with this young man's song. You can see all of that. Just,
reasons, you know, that we need to have law and order. I appreciate him putting that together. Amen. All right, we're going to have a word of prayer, but we're getting our lesson tonight. And there's a lot of people to pray about. A little young boy named Riley, 9 years old. We've been praying for him ever since he got a heads up about it. Having open heart surgery. I can only imagine a little 9-year-old boy going to have open heart surgery. We've been praying for him. I don't know the condition or status or nothing. We want to pray for that young boy, little Riley. My son's got an interview tomorrow to get a job where I used to work at. A honey care. I don't know how they're going to handle him. They couldn't handle me, amen. But we're going to pray for him that he'll be able to somehow measure up. He's very smart. I know he won't have a problem at all with the introduction and all of that, all the tests. I told him, I said, you'll be in training for a year because of being a pharmaceutical place. But I want to remember him. We've got a long list of people. I'm going to call some of them unspoken requests. Because I know who they are. One of them, Sister Brandon, shared with me, and I'm going to keep it anonymous. We're going to pray for that young man that he'll have a better regard and better respect. For Sister Brandon, we'll pray about that. We want to pray for Brother Mark, Sister Kay. I had them on my heart on the way up here. I'm probably going to call Brother Mark when I get home. See how they're doing. But we got a long list of people to pray for. I don't know the status of James Madison or his wife Patty, but I know they need prayer. We will pray for all of them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing already. Sister Brenda singing that song, He's Alive. Lord, I'm glad, Lord, that you live in us. Peter said, till the day shall arise in your heart. Lord, I didn't know what that meant until I got saved. And we was talking about Brother Ronnie Lindsay and what a difference, Lord, it's been in him since he got saved. And Lord, I'm glad you make a difference, Lord. I'm glad that any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Lord, I want to pray tonight for Brother Mark, Sister Kane. Lord, I pray for their marriage. I pray for their health. Help Brother Mark, Lord, all the pains and the hurt that he suffers, Lord. Help Sister Kay with her kidneys. I pray for Kay's sister Cheryl. Pray for Derek. Pray for Little Lake and River. Pray for Mark's two sisters, Bonnie and Patty. I pray for Patty's daughter Denise. And I pray for Donnie's Bonnie's daughter-in-law Deanna, or sister-in-law, be her daughter-in-law Deanna. And I pray for Kevin. He's got cancer. She said right now he's cancer-free. We praise God for that. I pray for the list. Sister Star Spray shared with me a lot of people, Lord, a lot of needs. Lord, I pray you'd comfort them in the loss of that little infant boy, Lord, that gone to be with the Lord. I pray, Father God, Lord, for Patrick right now. Sister Sarah told us he had a flat tire on his truck. Lord, he wanted to come to the house of God and end up getting a flat on his truck. Lord, bless Patrick. Help him get that tire changed. Lord, even if he gets here late, I hope he still makes it. But I pray you bless him. Help him get that fixed, Lord. Bless always, Lord Patrick, Sarah. We pray for Sarah's mother, Christina. Pray for her stepdad. Lord, got some heart issues there. Lord, we pray, Father God, Lord, for Lord Ronnie and Faye. We pray, Lord, Father, for not only Star, but for James, Dane Jr., Jordan, and for Casey, Lord. We pray, Father God, Lord, for Brenda. Pray, Lord, Father, for daughter Becky. I'd like to see Becky in church, Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, for James Madison and Patty. I pray, dear Father God, Lord, you'd help James with that problem he's got. Lord, they said he'd been falling a lot. And Lord, I pray for him, Lord. We love Brother James. We love Patty. I pray, Lord, Father, for Carol, Lord. She's starting a new job. Pray for her. Pray for Larry. Pray for Serenity and Lord, for Leroy. I pray, Lord, Father, for Sybil and Sharon. I pray, Father God, Lord, for Carolyn. Just had, Lord, a surgery, Father, a pacemaker-type surgery. Pray for her. Pray for Danny, Tammy. Pray, Lord, Father, for Thomas, Adeline, Landon. Pray, Lord, Father, for Chase. Pray for Lucy. Pray, Lord, Father, for Micah. Lord, we're so thankful for the children of this church, Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, for Mitchell, Phyllis. Help Phyllis, Lord, with her falling. Lord, I pray for Mitchell's sister, Bessie, Lord. Help Bessie, Lord. I pray for Brother Ed, Lord. We thank you so much, Brother Ed. What a blessing, Lord, he is to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I know he's a blessing to you.
Thank you,
Lord. We'll take a dozen just like him if you can find them, Lord. We thank you so much, Brother Ed. Bless him, Lord. Thank you for the work, prayers he's prayed for me. Lord, I feel them prayers and I thank you for them. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Sue Bone and for Denny. I pray for Sister Joanne Smith. Pray for Rita. Pray for Joe. Pray for Eric. I pray, dear Father God, Lord, for Lord. All of our people in our church. I pray for Miranda, Mark, Kate, and Tavian.
Yeah.
I pray, dear Father God, Lord, they be here this Sunday. I pray for them two young preachers going to come this Sunday, Lord. Pray for Austin. Pray for Quentin, Lord. Lord, they just want to come by and visit. They're going to do a service for us this coming Sunday night. We pray you bless them in that, Lord. They're just young men, Lord. One of them, I think's 21. The other's 18. Lord, they got a zeal and got a desire. Do something for God. And Lord, we're thankful, Father, that they want to come out. And Lord, I had a young man call me, Josh Gentry, and I had good conversation with him. It's a real blessing. And Lord, even though he's had a severe brain injury, Lord, his heart's good as gold. And I really enjoyed talking with him. I pray for him. He's wanting to come. And Lord, we hope you work that out where he can. I pray, Father God, Lord, for all our young people, Lord. Pray, dear God, Lord, you'd send us even more. I pray for that family I stopped and visited with on the way up here. Lord, got a lot of children. Lord, said they might come. And I thank you, Father, for Andy Watson and Lord, for Shelley that came, brought their children, Lord. And what a blessing they were, Lord. And God, thank you for that good vacation Bible school. We pray for Ashley, Lord. We pray for Carter and Keaton. Pray for a little girl, Lord. Bless, I pray, Lord, this little church, Lord. It may be small in number, may be small in size, but I pray it be big, Lord, and what it does for God. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege, even tonight, Lord, be able to stand for the Word of God. Mr. Crooked and Perverse Generation, Lord, that we might let the light shine. Lord, that we might, I pray, be a blessing to the one that died for us, like Brenda said, he got up for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. All right, we're going to get in this lesson tonight. We started out with the source of eternal life, which is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. John chapter 10, verse number 28, he said, "And I give unto them eternal life." I mean, that's pretty easy to understand. But he's the good shepherd, and he loves his sheep. And he said here, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." I'm going to put this in simplest terms you ever heard in your life. You're going to heaven whether you like it or not. You can go honorably, you can go shamefully, but you're going to heaven. I was thinking on the way up here about that place called hell. I'm glad God didn't make it for us. I'm glad He made it for the devil and his angels. We ain't got no business there. Even though a lot of people go there, Jesus made it where I wouldn't go there. And I thank God for eternal life. Not only the source of it, but we're talking about the security of eternal life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "Foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." And I'll tell you what, He knows me ever since April 27th, 1988, that seal. He sealed me with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Not only is the source of eternal life Jesus, but the security of eternal life is also Jesus. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one, you know, that leads us in the paths of righteousness of His namesake. And we're talking tonight about the sins of a child of God. And listen, I don't care what your opinion is. Let's let God be true.
Amen.
Let the Word of God say what it says without controversy. I'm going to read the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 2. I was only going to read a couple of verses, but as I read that whole chapter trying to decide where to stop at, I realized I just need to read the whole chapter. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, we'll read all the way down to verse number 29. And it starts out what we're talking about tonight. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Now I want you to know, God doesn't want us to sin, but God knows that we do sin, and we will sin. And anybody says they don't needs to get a checkup on the neck up. I'll clear that up there in just a second. Because my wife thought at me one day, and I showed it right here. It says right here in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth not in us. And if we say we're not sin, we make him a liar, and his word not in us. So the Lord here put provisions in here for his children. He says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And here's what the provision I'm talking about he put in here. And if any man, now he started at little children, now he's talking about a man. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. God's got this thing fixed for us.
Amen.
And I have to admit, I didn't even know what sin was until I got saved. And I didn't even know I was sinning until after I got saved. I mean, I just went the way of all the world. I sinned with the best of them, cussed with the best of them, drank with the best of them, acted like, ate it like the rest of them. But after I got saved, I have to admit, everything took a difference. I started seeing things differently, hearing things differently, and thinking about things differently. And you know what? I was trying to live right. I struggled with it. And the Lord helped me with it. And you realize, I just obeyed in Christ. But when we do sin, we have like a lawyer, an advocate. An advocate is at work of Jesus Christ for sinning saints, which he cares. Petitions to the Father, whereby because of the eternity, the eternal efficacy of his own sacrifice, he restores them to fellowship. And David, he kind of got in trouble there in Psalm 53. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. I just want you to know God made provision for us.
Yes, he did.
Now, I'm going to read this whole chapter.
Good.
And he is the propitiation for our sins. Not only did he save me from my sins, but he's also the one that cleanses me from my sins. You can find that 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We confess our sins, faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You can't bring too much sin to Jesus.
Oh, that's right.
I've heard people, Brother Ed, God couldn't forgive me. I said, give him a try. Give him a chance.
Right.
And they find out it wasn't nothing. I mean, I drug my big mountain of sin up there to God, and he got rid of it so fast. I'm kind of like a Jerry Klein talking about feeding his hound dog boiled okra. He said it went away so fast, he thought another dog beat him to it. But God just got rid of it so fast. And hereby, verse 3, hereby do we know that we know him. And I'm glad I do know him.
Yeah.
That we keep his commandments. Now, I'm not talking about this right here. I'm talking about what you'll hear me read about here in just a second.
Yes.
He says, he that saith, I know him, and I do, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in it. I have the truth in me because of him. Not only is he the way, truth, and life, but also his word is truth. He put his word in my heart. He put his Holy Spirit in my heart. His Holy Spirit bears witness for truth.
Yeah.
And anyway, he saith that I know him and keepeth not his commandments, a liar, and truth not in him. But whoso keepeth his word. Now I read my Bible through every year. I did that till my mother died and I laid it. I still read it, but I didn't read it through a few years. I'm back on track. I'm on my 20th time. He whoso keepeth his word, Jesus told his disciples, John chapter 8, verse 30, if you be my disciples, continue my word, you'll know the truth, truth make you free. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now I'm still a work in progress.
Yeah, me too.
I'm still growing.
Me too.
I've grown a lot.
Yeah.
And I've grown right. But I'm still growing. And I hope to keep growing. I know he that begun a good work in us will continue to the day of Christ. But it says here, hereby is whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And we do need to know that. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, examine yourself, prove yourself, know yourself that Christ is in you. We do need to know that we are in him and he's in us. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Jesus didn't jaywalk. I know Baptists do. I've done it myself. Moses, Bible said, and Moses was a great man of God. Bible said he looked this way He looked that way, and then he killed that Egyptian. That didn't make it right.
No.
But he did. And I want you to know, we're going to talk about Moses later in this, if we make it through this. I don't know that we will. This door didn't shut, and I know I better shut it. All right, there we go. Leave it to me. Moses, he killed an Egyptian. Next day he was confronted. Well, thou killest me as I did that Egyptian yesterday, and he run, took off running. That's kind of where sin is. That's where it's showing up. He that saith, he abideth in him, all himself also, so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now here he contradicts himself here. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. You see, I used to walk in darkness. I walked according to the course of this world. Man, I was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. I didn't know nothing about God or the Bible, nothing. But here, he says, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. And the true light now shines. I can't lie about it no more. Beforehand, I said, I didn't know that. And it would have been true. But you can't use that for an excuse. And I can't use my liberty for a cloak. And I know better now. The true light now shineth. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. God's love. We'll get that here in a second. But he wants us to love one. That was the goal of God when he made man. You know, I know he knew man wasn't going to be able to love his brother, but God has always instilled us to love our brother. And he says, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness, even in the now. That's not a racist statement, by the way. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Like I said, Jesus came down here. He loved people. He loved sinners. He is a friend of sinners. He showed them love. They couldn't understand his great love wherewith that he had, and he loved them. And I'll tell you what, it had a ripple effect. It caused others not only to love him, but to love others too. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. It's so easy just to love one another. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes.
Yeah.
I just want you to know, sin will cause you to not see things as they really are. Sin blinds you. He said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. He says here, even because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that's from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that's from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world. The devil's going to bait the hook. And if you do have a worldly appetite, I promise you this. The same one come to Jesus and tempted him three different ways. Tempted him with hunger. Tempted him with pride. Tempted him with worship. Even though he wasn't successful, he's still tempting people today. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This ain't our home. And you know what? Like Brother Ed said, we just got to learn to be content with things we got.
That's right.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I got weaned off of this world. And I'm still in the world, but I'm not of the world. For all that's in the world, and here's some sins, the lust of the flesh. Flesh wants to be, don't really want to go there in great detail.
Thank you.
But flesh wants to be seen.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you, they work a long time to get that look.
Yeah.
And you know, they make that selfie, you know, it's got to look just right. That's that flesh that fleshly type of lust.
Yeah.
And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world, they want that look. They want to look, like others look. They want that same attention.
Yeah.
Jesus needs to get all the glory, all the attention, all the praise. He said when He'd be lifted up, He'd draw all men to Him. And as far as I'm concerned, there's nobody that can take His place. But the world will lure you. And all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away. So whatever you're looking at, it's probably, I wish high prices of gas would pass away. It's getting all my money, putting it in the tank. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm going somewhere, bear with me. Little children, it's the last time, and as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. And it's getting where they can't hide themselves no more. They kind of blended in, but now they're sticking out. This song this boy wrote brought a bunch of them out. And that movie, The Sound of Freedom, brought a bunch of them out. And I'm just telling you, they can't blend in no more. We're getting in that last time to where, they're getting desperate or aggressive. And we're getting probably too passive, but we're having to trim our wick a little bit. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And no lies of the truth. Boy, it overturned a bunch of politicians right there. I never heard so many lies in my life. I watched a little bit about them debates today. If you didn't know the truth, it'd be different. But knowing better, listen to them. It was pathetic. But we're not going to get political here tonight. Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, there's a call and a draw that's not of God. And I'll comment on that here in just a second. I'll try to be discreet. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We know that He's righteous. You know that everyone doeth righteousness is born of Him. I would read this next chapter, but I'm looking at the time back, and he says, hey, you ain't going to do it. When it comes to the sins of a child of God, there are two things that you can do with sin.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is you can confess your sin.
That's right.
Man, I read it this minute ago, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word not in us. Every morning when I get up, I pray. I say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Well, first of all, I say, Lord, thank you for a good night's sleep. My wife tell me this morning, I wish I could sleep like you. She said, as soon as your head, it's a pillow of your sleep. And I can't help it. I thank God for it. But anyway, I say, Lord, thank you for a good night's sleep. And Lord, forgive me my sins. Wash and cleanse me my sins. Deliver me even today from evil and temptation. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Help me be a blessing to you today. Help me be fruitful today in any way I can. But you know, we need to pray to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. And that ought to be your prayer that you want to be mindful of. And I don't know my sin. David said, Lord, search me, see if there's any secret sin. I probably got all kinds of secret sins. And you probably do too. But what we do is we say, Lord, forgive us our sin, wash us and cleanse us. And that's what I do with mine.
Yeah.
Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 20 tells us that when we do sin, we do it with our own body. And it takes its toll on you. And I'm going somewhere tonight. Like I said, I don't know how far I'm going to get. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Paul says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. That's talking about male and female. We're not talking about other bunch. Got the rainbow problem. But he that's joined to the Lord, unto the Lord, is one spirit. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And I do have the Holy Ghost in me. Which you have of God, and you're not your own, and I'm not. I was bought with a price. He said, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God paid top dollar for me. Peter said, we're redeemed, not with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. The reason I'm here tonight is because I love Him that loved me and died for me.
Right.
Like Brendan said, He got up, He's alive. Mm-hmm. But love is the best motivation. Whatever you love, you're going to spend the most time with. I promise you that.
That's right.
And whatever you love, you're going to find out all you can about it.
Yeah.
You are. You're going to keep pursuing it.
That's right.
And you know, if you love the Lord, you're going to want to be in the house of God.
Yeah.
You're going to want to sing His song, raise your arms, praise His name. Hey, I get a blessing every time I come. One reason I do come is because I get blessed. And I thank God for that blessing. But you know, this life that we live, this body that I'm in, hey, it belongs to Him because of His death on the cross, because of His suffering, because of the blood that He shed, I got pardoned. I got abundantly pardoned. And I'll tell you, we really fall short on showing our love for Him.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible talks about our reasonable service there. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That'll just be normal. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be rather transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. The world's looking. They're needing to see something. If they can't see it in you, they're not going to find it. That's why we're here. We're His witnesses. And we do need to live righteous, godly, and soberly in this present world. He mentions 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, for us to come out from among them, be separate. He mentions Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, about restoration. Brethren, if a brother be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. Spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest I also be tempted. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 through 17, he said, there's a sin not unto death, and there's a sin that's unto death. Romans chapter 6, and I'm not going to go through it for the sake of time, but I'll tell you what sin. Confessing our sins. The other thing is continuing in sin. And it tells you there, if we continue in sin, I'll find Romans here in a minute. It says here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now I want you to know I'm going to heaven no matter what. I promise you this.
Yeah.
No matter what, I'm going to heaven. I mean, if you change your mind, it don't matter. If you deny him, he can't deny himself. You belong to him, part of the body of Christ. He's coming for his church. You're going to heaven by the grace of God. I can't improve on it. I can't take away from it. I'm as good as ever right now. Already sitting together, heavenly place in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, there's people maybe change their mind. I don't want to go to heaven. It's fixed. You're going. But you can go honorably or you can go dishonorably, depending on how you treated Jesus.
Right.
You can be ashamed of him. He said, you'd be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Hey, you can be zealous of him. Say, I just love it. You can be like Brenda, want to sing every time, get a chance to sing. You can be like Sarah, wants to tell everybody how much she loves the Lord, how much it means to her.
Yeah.
But here, we need to confess our sins, not continue in sin. And this will be tough here. We'll try to get as much as we can. Yep. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Notice this, verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, I'll share a couple sad stories. One couple got saved. I mean, just loved the Lord. Their every service. Growing leaps and bounds. They missed one Wednesday night. Just one. Pastor went over and called them and said, hey, we missed y'all. Oh, we'll be there next Wednesday night. That one Wednesday night, they kept missing, missing, missing. Finally, a man ended up in prison. And he wrote a letter to this pastor. And he said, Pastor, I just want to thank you for all your prayers, all your calls, all the effort that you put forth to try to get us back in church. He said, I'm serving a life sentence. And he said, I just want you to tell the congregation that this all started on one Wednesday night. He said, we just kept getting further and further away from church and away from God. And he said, finally, believe it or not, the unthinkable happened. I caught my wife with someone else. I shot both of them dead, and I'm in prison, and I'll be here till I die. It's important. And we're talking about chastisement. If you continue in sin, God will chasten you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God he does.
Yes.
And some people, they just kind of deny and don't respond to the chastening hand of God. I've seen God's chastening hand severe. I've seen it mild. I've seen sometimes people only give it one chance. But that continuing sin, that chastisement from the Lord, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 15, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. But that chastisement can be very severe. I've been to the hospital for people that were dying. And they wanted someone to go tell others not to trod the path they trod.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a tremendous man of God, Brother Ed. He used to sing, well, he sung a lot, wrote a lot of songs. Have you talked to your neighbor about God? And he sung his one song, I loved it, Cabin on the Hill. I love that song. He sung such a good job of singing it. It had like a soprano background behind it. I loved that song. Anyway, I watched him. I watched him falling back. I watched him, you know, missing. And I watched God chase him, and he'd come back. And he wouldn't be telling me, fall out again, he'd come back. He had a guitar. I don't know what it was worth, but he wouldn't have sold it for $1 million. And he just had a problem. He was drinking, and he had a truck wreck. And all it did in that truck wreck was it busted that guitar. And you can't imagine how detrimental that was to him. For one thing, he knew why the guitar was broke. He knew the circumstances was going on, but he just kept on going on. Then I went to his funeral. And it's aftermath. And we'll elaborate on that here in a second here about God. We'll take us home.
Because we're not going to be condemned with the world. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. I'm justified because of Him, not because of me.
Right.
You forget about old Eddie Wade earning any standing down here.
No.
Hey, the only thing I own, I tell you right now, is just this clay vessel that I'm living in. The rest of it, I'm just borrowing it. Everything we got down here, God just gives us what we got.
That's right.
If we got any sense, we're thanking for it every day. But this chastisement from the Lord, if He loves you, He's going to chasten you. If He don't chasten you, you're not one of His.
Something's wrong.
And I'm going to talk about pretty severely about this chastisement here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives pretty good reason to be careful with our lives. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, he says, "But I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it, and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.'" That's what taking the Lord's Supper is all about, is to remember that He was broken for us. "After the same manner, also He took the cup. And when He'd supped, saying, 'This cup is a new testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me.'" The Lord's Supper is just remember His blood was shed for us. His body was broken for us. And we need to be mindful of that. Verse 26, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily."
Yeah.
Now, I'm not worthy.
No one is.
But I'll tell you this.
Jesus.
I do pray to be forgiven.
Yeah.
I do ask the Lord to wash me and cleanse me.
Right.
And I don't understand. It's pretty serious about taking the Lord's Supper, what I would call with hypocrisy, like, "Yeah, give it to me." I'm just telling you, this is probably the most sacred thing that we have as far as an ordinance that there is. And I even pray, Lord, even right now, Lord, help me, Lord, to reverence your body and your blood that was shed for me. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." And what happened, Brother Ed?
Oh, nothing.
"It shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Here's real important. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Now, I'm not going to do this. That's kind of like sacrilege.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
Right.
Lord, I'm praying right now that you forgive me my sins, wash and cleanse me. I do want to honor you in this ordinance of taking the Lord's Supper.
Search my heart.
Yeah.
Know me.
Yes. That's what David said. He said, "Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be just when thou speak, or just when thou judge, clear when thou speakest." Psalms 51. Here's why. Verse 29. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, drinketh," or "eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, I'm telling you, it's pretty serious.
It is serious.
When you take the Lord's Supper, of course, we need to do it. But do it with honor,
yes,
with reverence,
yes,
with humility. Remember why we're doing it. To remember that He died for us. He says, if we don't take it worthily, we eat and drink damnation to ourselves, not discerning the Lord's body.
Yes.
Here's the aftermath. "For this cause many are weak." I've seen a lot of people feeble. Moses, Deuteronomy. I know I wrote that down. Let's write it down on another piece of paper. Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 through 7. You know, Moses was the law. I got in under Abraham. I'm not trying to keep the law to be saved.
No.
But I want you to know Moses, when it comes to the end of his life,
It says here,
but law and grace goes hand in hand.
Absolutely. I want you to listen to the end of Moses here. Verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Bethpor. But no man knoweth of his scepter in this day. Now, listen real good right here. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. He didn't need these. He didn't need no contact lenses. I'm talking about the sins that we sin are against our own body.
Yeah.
They have a toll. They have, they take a toll on our body. He had perfect eyesight, nor his natural force abated. Now, I'm not going to heaven by the Ten Commandments, but Moses, he not only observed those Ten Commandments, but the Bible says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy on two or three witnesses. He enforced those Ten Commandments. He was the one, that brought judgment. When he judged the people, he judged them according to the Ten Commandments. Just our body alone. If you want to be healthy, if you want to live a long life, Peter said, he that will live a long life, let him, and we might read that here in a minute, let him skew, see good days, long life, let him skew. From evil, let me, instead of messing that up, let me just get to it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Well, that's chapter 2, no wonder that's right. Verse 8, finally, be all one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiable, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrary wise blessing, knowing that you're whereunto called, you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, that his lips, if they speak no guile, let him skew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the Lord's eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If you want to live a long life, want to see good days, live before the Lord in beauty and holiness. Walk before Him right. Be mindful of the consequences here. He said, this caused many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We don't die because death has no more dominion. They're going to say one of these days, Brother Eddie's dead, and I'll be alive more that day than I am right now.
That's right.
This old earthly body will be dead. I'll be making a move. Patrick and Sarah just moved in a new house.
Yeah.
And we'll be moving in a new house one of these days.
Right.
It ain't going to be down here. Hallelujah. And anyway, he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I'm talking about the chastisement of the Lord. I'm talking about continuing sin. Continuing in sin. If you do, you're going to be judged. But when we're judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. We're not going to be condemned with the world. We're going to be justified by the finished works of Jesus. He's going to present us without spot and blemish in His presence. I'll just tell you, it may not be pleasant to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about being in chapter 5, have a bunch. It talks about, let me cut this close here. It talks about us being taken out of the world here. Well, no one, I'm in chapter 4. It's a good thing I have got glasses. One page got 6, the other's got 4. Where's 5? Here we go. I found it finally. All right. He talks about a young man that had done a deed. He committed adultery with his father's wife. And he mentions to deliver such a one unto Satan. And he talks about here, it's reported commonly that fornication among you, such fornication should not be named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And he mentioned about, verily, I have somebody present in spirit, have judged already concerned, as though I were present, concerning him that so done this deed. And he said, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 10, yet altogether Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, for with covetous or extortioners, or with adulterers, for them must you needs go out of the world. If you want to live down here, and if you want to stay down here, hey, set your house in order. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the judgment of Christ is, for a child of God, is chastisement. And it can be severe at the very first time. I'm just telling you, sometimes God's merciful, allows you to mess up, like I watched with that man I mentioned a while ago about the one that sung the songs of God. God let him just keep going, going, going. But Moses, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Rather enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. That little short season can be real short, this long or that long, but you're not going to go far if you continue in sin. I'll tell you that right now. The Bible tells us to live righteous, godly, and soberly in this present world. That's what we need to do. Listen, if you don't do it, if you struggle with it, we got an advocate.
That's right.
You got an option. Confess it. Lord, yeah. I sinned again. Lord, I'm sorry again. I've messed up again.
Yeah.
Jesus told Peter 70 times seven.
Amen.
490 times a day, you can say, Lord, I'm sorry.
That's right.
I messed up again. Lord, I lost it again. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to help me again. There's no end to how much mercy and grace God has for us.
That's right.
There's no sense in trying to fool me, fool Brother Ed, or fool God and say, like Achan, I can hide it. God wouldn't let them defeat Ai. He told Joshua to send the camp, and they drawed lots, and the lot fell on Achan, and they brought Achan over, and he said, son, confess. He said, I saw Babylonian garment, wedge of gold, piece of silver, hid them in my tent, they buried in the ground. They stoned him.
Yeah.
Miss Achan, all their children, all that they had. Don't continue in sin. Confess our sins. I'm going to heaven. When I get up there, I don't know if everybody up there is going to say, Eddie, we've been watching you down there and the life you've been living down there, and you ought to have done better. I want them to say, you done better than I did. You done good with that situation. I don't know. I ain't been to heaven yet. But I know one thing. When we get there, we'll know even as we're known.
That's right.
When we get to heaven, they're going to say, that Eddie Wade finally got here. And oh my, you know, it might be a welcome wagon, and it might be, confessing up. Tell some of the things that you did that were wrong. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. I'm going. No matter what, I'm going.
That's right. But
you know what I mean? Billy Swaggart, think what you can about him. He did publicly say, I'm sorry, I sinned. Even though he continued in it, I'll just tell you, it wasn't good. They caught him three or four more times after that. I'm just telling you, boys, you're not going to go too far continuing in sin.
No,
Lord, we thank you for the thought tonight. Lord, I really enjoyed these lessons on eternal life. And I pray, Lord, that we'd all be mindful. And Lord, do that which is right in your sight. Lord, be a blessing, not a burden. Not grieve your heart, but Lord, give you glory in all this, Lord. We pray for your help and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody got a word in your heart tonight? That's pretty rough tonight.
Oh, it was good. Thank God for it.
Amen. I listened to a Jew this morning on the news. That's all I watch is the news. He was giving an update